Thank you, Father. Father, this morning we receive your freedom that you granted to us by the blood of Jesus, that we're not in warfare with a spirit. We have authority over every spirit. And because of the blood of Jesus, and because we're children of God, we have authority over all demons. So we speak against this attack of the enemy, against our minds and our emotions. And we refuse to accept the thoughts that is pouring into our minds. And we say you're a liar. And we tell you to shut up. And you will obey us. And the word of God is truth. And that's what we choose to listen to. Our Father says we're his children. That we are above, not beneath, and we will finish our course and finish our race, and we will see revival, and we will see our prayers come to pass. In Jesus' name, we command you to shut up and to go right now. In Jesus' name, you will obey. And Father, we thank you that you are everything to us. You're our strength, our courage, our victory. We will not fail because we will not quit. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I was in Brazil with Pastor Dave a little while ago, and I got a message from my mom. She said, I just had it was a Sunday. She said, the doctor just called me on Sunday. I said, a report came in and he needs me to come in on Monday because he's concerned I have cancer, she said. And she said, I just want you to pray for me. Of course, I'm in Brazil, so she can't call me, so she Facebook messaged me. And for a Canadian doctor to call on a Sunday, that's a big deal. And so I just happened to be close to Pastor Dave because we were in Brazil for his meeting. So I grabbed him, took advantage of my position, said, Pastor Dave, can you just pray and agree with me for this? And I had called my mom and talked to her before I had talked to Pastor Dave. And he said, yeah, we'll pray right now. So we prayed and we didn't do the now. It's now 7:30, and you have to call your mom and tell her you prayed at 7:30. So we prayed and agreed, and I felt peace, and we felt God's presence, and that was it. We just kind of moved on. Well, the next day, or 2 days later, we were back in the States, and my mom called me, and she said, now, after I told you, did you pray for me? And I said, well, yeah. She said, was it about 10:30? No, was it about 7:30 my time, which would have been exactly the time we prayed? I said, could be. She said, I was cooking dinner, and the power of God fell on me, and I got my knees wobbled. I almost fell over. And I thought, man, I need to remember to call at 7. But that was so exciting for me to actually see how when you pray here, God goes there. He's just looking for vessels of authority. Amen. And she got her first report back 2 days ago and was perfectly clean. Hallelujah. Amen. Someone say, thank God I go to this church. I don't get to see my mom a whole lot because God's got me here and she lives in Canada. I left when I was 22 years old. Said, I want to go to the States for 1 year. Every year I get a call from my mom complaining that I have not come home and lived next door to her or in her basement. She'll call me once in a while and prophesy to me. God spoke to me, told me to tell you to come home Said, Mom, you're not a prophet. Well, I am today. Get home. So we'll call her today and let her know. But I understand God's wisdom in when He leads us, or I trust, is a better way of saying it, God's wisdom when He leads us to go against what natural families or worldly families may think is normal. I trust His wisdom in my life for that, but I do miss certain things, and God has wisdom way beyond what we can comprehend. Amen. When it comes to our families, and I'll give you another quick example, if you don't mind, where I was here, and this was a number of years ago, and Pastor Dave, I think, was doing a series on fasting. I think it was. And my dad was going to go in for heart surgery in Canada. And they told my mom and us that, look, you come in, you have heart surgery, there's always danger, complications, but we wake you up and you're home in a few days. We're going to just cut your chest open and pull your heart out and pull veins out of your legs and stitch you all back up, and you'll wake up and no problem, And listening to the Spirit instead of to my brain, and instead of into everything else, I felt I was supposed to stay here and attend a fasting series, which, I had the great excuse to escape. Sorry, I can't come to the fasting series. I have to go be with my mama. My little brother flew from Thailand to go and be there for this operation, and so they had the operation, and when they tried to wake up my dad after the surgery, every time they tried to wake him up, all his vitals would go crazy. So they couldn't wake him up. And it was 4 days, 5 days. And I remember coming, talking to my mom on a Saturday morning, and they said they're going to try again today, but they think they'll be okay. And I got a phone call from my wife as I was coming that evening into the service. And I got a phone call from my wife saying everything went horribly wrong. They're calling your mom and your brother and sister out of the hotel to the hospital to say that goodbye. And which now, those type of moments, that's where you find out. Well, let me just say, in those type of moments, you may need someone else's faith. And it's okay. But I got the call just as I was coming in, and I was walking right beside Pastor Dave, who was in a conversation in his office back then. And this is how it went, just like this. I walked by, and there was Pastor Dave talking to someone, and I'm on the phone and with my mom, because I called her after Christy called me, and she said, we're on the way to the hospital. They said that it looks really bad. And as I walked into the Pastor Dave's office, I said, Pastor Dave, I need you to pray. Someone say, thank God I go to this church. And this is what he did, literally. He was talking to someone. He looked at me. And he stood up and he said, get back into that body. And he didn't know anything. He didn't know what was going on in my home. I didn't tell him. I didn't tell him earlier. And he said he saw a body lifting, someone lifting out of a body. And they had charged my dad, whatever those things are, paddled him, I think 3-4 times to bring him back. And the next day he was awake, running around a month later, and he's still causing trouble. This is years later. And I remind him all the time, thank God I go to this church. Because there's wisdom in God leading you. And when you look at the traditional family, you start with the traditional family, there's mom and dad, you have kids, and then your kids hopefully get out a little bit and start their own families, and they live across the street or not too far, and every birthday party, every Christmas, every Easter dinner, you're all together all the time. But when you start following God, when someone starts following God, sometimes there's a little kink in that system. And it doesn't seem like you're doing your duty as a son or a daughter or as a mother or as a father, because you don't have what the best this earth has to offer is family, you know. But there's wisdom in God. There's wisdom in Him leading you, and it may lead you down different paths. Like with me and my family, we don't live with Christy's mom lives in Tennessee with her sister and our kids' cousins, and my whole family lives in Canada, and we don't get to see each other a lot. But you know, we're going to spend eternity in heaven. Eternity's a long time. It's. I think sometimes the way we think about this life is a little silly. It will definitely seem silly when we get to heaven and realize how long eternity is. You know, the power of family is not how much time you really get to spend here on this earth. The power of family is how you can bring everyone in your family to heaven with you. And then you'll rejoice forever. See, the thing about heaven, it's not just about Jesus when we get there. When we spend eternity, it's not just about worshiping God, or it's not just about knowing God. The thing about eternity is about family. It's about all of us. Forever. See. And so I have responsibility with my family. I take a responsibility. I want to see all of them go to heaven. I want to make sure I get to see them all in heaven. But that doesn't come from preaching at them, from nagging them. It comes from obeying God and praying for them. I say, God, it's not fair. I've got nephews and nieces now that are growing up, and they don't have a preacher in their life. Like if I were there, if I were living in Canada next door, I would harass them. I'd be on them. They'd be going to church. They may not smile in church, but I'd make sure they were in church. You know? And I said, God, how can I be sure they're going to go to heaven? I'm not there. He said, every prayer you have for your family will be answered on the pathway I've given to you. And if you stay on that pathway I've given to you, you can trust that I'll take care of your family as you obey me. You know? And now we have a few squirmers in my family, I call them. We got a couple that got saved real quick. We broke them just like that, no problem. We got a few stubborn ones. But they're not more stubborn than God. And they're not smarter than God. So whether they accept Jesus now and have an enjoyable life, or they accept Him when they're on their deathbed and the moment before they die, that's up to them. But I'll see all of my family in heaven. And I have a big family. I mean, my mama was married 5 times. I've got lots of offshoots of half-brothers, half-sisters. But they're blessed because they have someone in their family line who prays for them and believes for them and follows God. And hopefully that's you too. Amen. I think we can forget sometimes how valuable you are to your family. I know the first time my parents donated to our ministry, and they didn't for years. It was just a few years ago they decided to give us a donation, get behind our ministry, or give us a donation. I thought, well, that doesn't count. That's family, you know. But the Lord rebuked me. And He said, why wouldn't I use your family? Why wouldn't I speak to them to minister to you because you have a connection to them. And in the spirit, why wouldn't he use you to be someone to stand for your family's salvation, for your family's victory? I have a part of my family. I was born Ellen Robidoux. It's French. My dad's name, my birth dad, was Frank Robidoux. He died when I was 4 years old. And my mom says that my grandmother and him didn't get along very well. And so when he passed away, that side of the family didn't have a lot to do with us. And I only, you know, I didn't know because I was a kid, so I didn't notice any of that tension, you might say. But it was years later. I was down in Tennessee, and I had a preacher taught how to pray for your family. Every Sunday and every service, I would take a moment and remind myself to pray for that part of my family and to lift them up, especially Nanny Robidoux, we called her. That was my dad's mother. And I'd pray for Nanny Robidoux to be born again. Now, she was just a round little grandma, you know. And I hadn't talked to her in, I think, 5 years. And I was down in Tennessee. But I prayed for her every week. A couple times a week, I lifted up her name and others. And I ended up being able to go up to Grand Prairie, Alberta, up in northern Canada, for a couple weeks. So I called up Nanny Robidoux, and I said, "Nanny, I'm actually preaching in Grand Prairie on Easter Sunday, and I would love for you to come as my guest." Well, I hadn't talked to her in 5 years. Our families were separated, but I had prayed for her. And so I went up there, and I was probably 26 at the time, I guess, and 27 around there. And I went up there and spent Saturday with her. And it was amazing because I hadn't seen her for a long time. I hadn't talked to her for 5 years, but I hadn't really seen her for a long time because we lived in a whole different part. After my father passed away, we moved. And so we lived in a whole different part of Canada. And during that time with her, I found out that my dad had been baptized as a little Catholic baby. And that he had asked her at one time, because my dad was born, he had no fingers on his left hand. And he was a boxer. He became a boxer, and then he became a construction man. He owned his own construction company later on in life. And so he always fought through those things. And Nanny Robidoux sat there and looked at me, and she said, "You look just like Frank." And it was amazing because I looked just like my dad. Here I was looking at her, and I looked just like my dad. And she said, "He asked me when he was young, he wanted to be a priest, and I wouldn't let him." And she said, "I believe if I would have let him, he would never have died so young." Because he was 39 when he died. And I said, "Yeah, but I wouldn't be here." Some of you will get that tomorrow. Yeah. And I realized later how here she was looking at her grandson, who looked just like her son. She held this guilt and shame because she never went to church. She was, if you ask most people, kind of a bitter lady, 85 years old. And she was looking at me, and here her son had a call on her life, on his life, that he didn't fulfill. Why else do you want to be a priest? And she got to see her grandson looking back at her, looking like her son, fulfilling the call of God. And we spent all day Saturday, went to the mall, we got coffee, we held hands, and just talked. Well, Sunday morning, she came to hear me preach. And I had been praying her for years. Now, listen, we're not the only Christians in that side of the family, the Robidu part of the family. There's others who have been trying to get her saved for a long time. And do you know that I found out in 5 years that I had not talked to her but had been praying for her, in those 5 years, she had suffered 4 major heart attacks and survived them all. So we went Sunday morning. She came to hear me preach. Easter Sunday, I preached a good message. We cast out a few devils. It was, you know, she was sitting on the second row. Her eyes are getting pretty big, you know. And I gave the altar call for salvation, and she didn't come up. And at the end of the service, I walked down, and I knelt down in front of her, and I said, "Nanny, are you ready to accept Jesus today?" She said, "Yeah." And so right there, I led her to the Lord. 85 years old. And I left, because I had to leave. I was only there for the weekend. So I left and went to another town, because I was preaching a few places up in northern BC and Alberta. And 3 weeks later, I got a phone call. And Nanny Robidu passed away in her sleep. And I thought, wow, she's going to be real thankful. She was like, "Whew, that was a close one." She gets to heaven. I quit worrying about seeing my family in heaven after that. I remember I used to harass my brothers and sisters to try to get them saved. I thought I was doing the work of the Lord. You know, I'm doing good. I'm racking up good treasures in heaven, rewards, because I'm witnessing to them. And I'd walk into the house and they'd kind of, you know, because I preached to them all the time. You know, when you're on different substances quite a bit, as my family are professional heathens, and you live a certain lifestyle, you know, the preacher, you're the oddball. You know, some of you are raised in Christians' homes, and you're, you know, I was like the white sheep of the family, you know. And so my sisters, they quit talking to me. They quit, they never quit talking to me, but they quit opening up to me. Because I kept pushing and pushing. And I thought I was doing the Lord the favor. I thought, yeah, hallelujah, I'm getting them saved. I'm doing the work of the ministry. I'm getting rewards in heaven. And the Lord rebuked me one day. He said, "You're not doing that because I told you to. You're doing that because you want to make sure they go to heaven, and you're afraid that prayer doesn't work. And so you're taking the responsibility yourself rather than letting Him send the workers." I decided to be the worker. Does that make sense? And He said, "You're just afraid." He said, "What I want you to do is quit preaching at them. I want you to love them, because they can't stop you from loving them." He said, "I want you to respect who they are, because I respect their choices. You respect their choices." And I got my sisters. They're wonderful. They're good people. But at the time, they just didn't want Jesus. So I started to love them for them. And then I quit preaching at them. You know how that just, that meant I got to enjoy them. We go for New Year's, you know, we did Easter, we had Thanksgiving in October. That's where Canada has Thanksgiving, which is great here in America, because I can have Thanksgiving twice. Turkey and gravy, and yeah. And we'd get together as a family, and then they would start what normal worldly people do. They bring their own booze, you know, they start to play poker. And finally, once the burden of the responsibility, the fear of seeing them come to heaven, once I got rid of that and believed in the power of prayer and the power of obedience to follow God, I enjoyed them. And I found out that when you're the only sober guy there, you do better at poker than the rest of them. And they're not afraid of God anymore. Because I was their example. One by one, they've been coming in. And they can't help it. They've been coming in. Because, you know, life out there in the world without a spiritual father can get pretty lonely. It can be pretty hard. But when you have a heavenly father, you have someone with you all the time. And one by one, they've been coming in. I remember a few years ago, we were up in Canada preaching. And my one sister, my mom would make my sisters come to hear me preach. She made it mandatory. They had to come to one service whenever I went to Canada. And I used to go to Canada every year. And so my family, my brother and my sisters, they would get an agreement of which service they would come to. And they always picked the one that I was preaching out of town, in a different town. And they would come Saturday night and go to the bar together. And then Sunday they would come to hear me preach. And they would always bring friends for moral support. And I would tell them, look, I'm not making you come. I'm not making you come to hear me preach. That's mom. That's on mom. You have to blame mom for that. And mom didn't care. She's like, you're coming to hear Alan or you will be suffering the rest of the year. So Sunday morning, we'd have a row fill up of the Taylor clan. And it was full of all kinds of people. My one sister brought in a friend who was all tattooed up, had like, not just earrings, but nose rings, eyebrow rings attached to the other rings. She was really fully ringed up. And that little girl found love in that place. She wasn't expecting that. She's expecting something different, but that church was the wrong one to bring her to, because that church loved her. And this, I swear on the Bible, over all those years that my sisters and my brother would bring their friends, almost every service, their friends would get saved. But not them. I had my one sister holding on to her friend as she's crying, coming up to the altar to get saved. I get it. And my sister saying, don't go, don't go. And her friend's going, I can't help it. I got to go. I got to go. And I just smile and say, well, you might as well give up. They'd be miserable. You should hear the miserable stories my sisters tell about their life. And they don't know that I'm the one causing it. They'll never find happiness until they find Jesus. My brother brought his girlfriend one time, and she had a disease in her legs. She got healed during the service. And the next day he called me up and said, Alan, I need you to come. He was a bouncer at the bar. So I need you to come and talk to her. I said, well, what for? She's got all these questions I don't have answers for. So I went down to the bar and led her to the Lord, looking at my brother as she's accepting Jesus, you know. I say, close your eyes, say, Jesus. And I look at my brother, say, Jesus, come into my heart. If you got someone in your family praying for you, you might as well give up. You're going to be miserable until you get Jesus. You might as well just give up. My sister, I have one stubborn sister, but she's a beautiful girl, wonderful mom. And her two kids came to hear me preach. And I was having a healing line. And as I'm going down the healing line, her two teenage kids are standing there wanting to get saved. And I thought, oh, she's gonna be so mad at me. See, you don't have to be afraid. There's power in prayer. Maybe you follow God and He brought you away from your family. Or maybe you have family and they're crazy. And they're worldly. And they're not just worldly. You know, there's a few that get worldly, but then they get like in your face worldly. Like, I'm going to just show you how worldly I can get. So you'll give up worldly. I don't know if you have any of those. But they're usually the most, they're usually the closest to getting to know God. But see, when all fear leaves you, that you can take your family and hand them over to God. When all fear leaves you, that, hey, I don't have a choice. When I have to tell my mama, Mom, I don't have a choice. I have to follow God. I'm sorry. I can't follow family. Family does not trump obeying God. Now, let me pause there for one moment. Because sometimes we can go too far the other way. The man's at the table with his three kids, and they're eating dinner, and the wife's cooked dinner, and the man looks at the wife and says, you know, I'm going to go hand out tracts down on the street. Beautiful dinner, wife. Great job, but I have to go serve God and hand out tracts down on the street. And the wife says, can't you do it after dinner? No, I have to hate you and love God. So you cannot get in the way of me serving God, wifey. You know, that's not what that means. Hating your wife and your children and yourself means you live where He tells you to live. You obey what He tells you to do. Not that you let ministry activity or spiritual activity take away from your family responsibilities. See? And so, when God tells you, and you have to tell your family, say, family, what normally family does, they all live in the same town, they all raise their kids together, they all have every Christmas together, every birthday, I can't be there. If I can, I will. But I can't live next door. I can't do that because God's told me to do something else. And I have to obey God. When you give your life to Him, that's what that means. That you no longer have the power to live where you want to live, to work where you want to work, to make those choices. You give your will to Him. And He'll lead and guide you. But there's a trust in that. My trust is that the nephews, the nieces, the brothers that I have, I've got 10 kids in our family. But they're not all from one group. We got 13 over here. We got 10. But I've got three brothers. One of them will never see me, doesn't want to see me, because his dad left his mom to marry my mom, see. And so I've got all kinds, but they're connected to me. So they're going to be in heaven. They might as well get to like me because they're going to be in heaven with me. I have the power to believe for them. And in obeying God, God isn't just thinking about me. Listen, let me preach to you right now. In your walk of obedience to God, He's not just thinking about you. He's not just thinking about all the people you're going to witness to, all the miracles that's going to come through you. He's not just thinking about revival that's in your future. In you obeying God, He's also calculated everyone that's in your past, your family, the ones that you're connected to by this natural body. And He has not forgotten them by asking you to follow Him. He's thought about them. And in obeying God with your life, there's a trust that says, I will let go of that responsibility. I'm not talking about your wife. That's someone you chose. I'm not talking about your children. That's someone you chose. I'm talking about the family that you were birthed in, that you're connected to. There's a saying that you have to honor your father and mother. And that's true. But you get to choose how to honor them. They don't choose how you honor them. Because some will say, well, you got to honor me. You better live next door. My mom would have me living right next door. And she'd be happy as a clam. Well, I honor her the way God lets me honor her. Amen. I want to read this to you out of 2 Timothy, since it's Mother's Day. I have a Mother's Day verse for you. We'll start in verse 3. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience. For as my forefathers did, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Now this is really, I love this verse here. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And I want to share this because we talked a bit today already about your family that's out there, but some of you have family here. And how important it is for here we see a grandmother and a mother passing down a genuine faith, a genuineness about them that went from a mother to a child and from a mother to her child. I was in Brazil. And I was talking about, in a service, about the power, the liberty of being a mother. And how I felt it was important, if at all possible, for mothers to spend time with their children as much as possible. Their young children. How by the age of 5, so much is in a child. By the age of 7, they say your personality is already set. By the age of 7, they say your insecurities and your strengths and your is already locked into you. Now that's the world, but that's what they say. And how when you have a one person, especially a mama, who's willing, if possible, to pour into that child for those 5 to 7 years. And one woman came up to me and she said, I had always been taught that my position at staying home mom was not very valuable because I wasn't busy serving the church. I wasn't active doing things for the gospel. And how important it was when she heard the value in God's eyes of one person pouring in to their children. You as a mama, you're the heart of the family. You're the heart of the home. Do you understand? You can take your family anywhere you want. You can take your family any direction as far as, I don't want to preach too much here. It's hard for a man to preach to a mama on Mother's Day. My wife works hard at making our home a place of peace. A place for our children to grow safe, find strength. Our kids get in trouble all the time now because they're safe. They're not afraid because they have a home that's strength, that's centered, that's home for them is safe. There's no fighting at home. There's no yelling or screaming. There's no home is their place of safety. For me, if I have a break, you know where I want to go? Not out with the guys doing something. I don't want to go out to the woods hunting something. I want to go home with my wife, my kids, because my wife has worked hard to build a place for our kids to grow. And let me just tell you, as a preacher, it's a lot. I don't want to say it that way, but as a minister, I think it takes a lot more work for a wife to balance those things than just than a normal type family. If you're a mama and you have kids, there's anointing on you to help those kids find God and follow God. Now, someone may say, well, I messed up. You know, my kids are grown and I didn't do what I should have done. Or, you know, all that's in the past. You're not messed up now. You can fix things. You could pour into your kids. You can pray for them. There's 1,000 things God could help you do. But there is an anointing for you as a mama. I was, I'm making sure my kids are occupied right now. Okay. I was a teenager, and there was a girl I liked. This is way before my wife. This is like a long time before. Not even close as pretty as my wife is. But there was this one girl, and I remember like saying, do you want to smooch? And she said, yeah, I do, but I can't. I said, why not? She said, my mama will make me in trouble. And I looked this way, and I looked that way, and I said, well, I won't tell if you won't tell. You know what she told me? It doesn't matter. The Holy Ghost tells my mama everything. You know, there can be a quiet strength in every mama that says, my family will serve God. My family will follow God. My home will be at peace. And as a mom, as a wife, and I'm only talking to a certain group here, you can have a husband that won't follow God or serve God and still bring your family into God. And when your husband finally gets it together, you can just say, oh, you ready to take the lead now? I'm right behind you, buddy. Go ahead. But even if he's not, you're the mom. You're the anchor of that home. You're the heart of your family. And you have the anointing and the authority and the power and the lack of excuses to say, my family will follow God and will serve God. And I'm going to pray it in, I'm going to walk it in, and I'm going to make it happen. You have that on you. And God will stand behind you. Here we see Timothy. He says his dad was a Greek. He didn't say much about him. But his dad, but it sure puts a lot of honor on his mom and his grandma. That puts something in him, that's one thing in him, turned him into a minister of the gospel. Following God. Something that Apostle Paul, I wonder how many preachers Apostle Paul ran into. Yet he saw something in this young man. Said, you have something special in you. And I've seen it in your mom and in your grandma. You are not, ladies or mamas, you are not at the mercy of anyone or anyone's choices or of the world or of the school system or of the government. Your family is not at the mercy of anyone. You are the heart of your family. And by God, if you want to see them follow God, you can see that. If you want to see your home place of godliness and peace, you're the one who can see that. Whether no one else wants it, you can bring that to pass. We are going into a place, I know for me and my family, I used to look at church. I was trained in church that I drug me, my wife and kids to church, and you drug yourself and wife and kids to church, and all of us together just kind of mingled and did stuff for the gospel. But I got healed here at this place where I saw it a little bit different. That I have me and my family that I've created, my wife and my children. That's us. If you're single, you're right alongside. I chose to have a commitment to a wife. I chose to create two little creatures. And now I'm a father. But if you're single, you're not left out. That's your family. Okay. But it's me and my family are supposed to walk beside you and your family. And they're supposed to walk beside each other. But our families are not supposed to suffer in the name of the gospel. They're supposed to be strengthened. My kids are not bitter towards church. You know, they're so unbitter, they have fun in church. You know, they've been in church more than most of you have already. Harrison just turned 8, Ava just turned 5, and they've probably been in more services than most of you people. And they've, you know, and it's rough on a preacher when, you know, you're sitting in the front row again, and you got your two little kids who've been in 20 services that month at different places, and the whole church goes, let's see how those kids handle church. You know, they're not bitter towards God or church. See, it's me and my family. It's you and your family. And you can bring your family to wholeness. And God will give you specific instructions to help you do that. But listen, I think in me, I want to put a fight in us today. That no matter what your situation is at home, no matter what you see with your children or with your finances or with your spouses, if you fight the right fight and stand the right stand, you can see it come to wholeness. You can see your home and your kids and your family following God. And the worst case scenario, you'll see them all in heaven. No matter how hard they fight. Because there's power in prayer. There's power in serving God and following God. Amen? Why don't you stand? I'm going to say this with me if you would. Say, Father, I have authority in my home that my family will follow you. My home will be a place of godliness, a place of peace, a place of love. My home, I am determined. I receive all the grace, all the wisdom, all the blueprint and strength that I need to be assured that my family will be in heaven and my home will be a place of godliness. I receive that now. I take that assignment upon myself. I will not be pushed around by fear or circumstances or other people's choices. Never again. I am making my choice today that with God behind me, my family will be in heaven. My home will be a place of godliness. I thank you, Father, that you are helping me with that. I also pray for my loved ones. I put them into your hands. Everyone who's not born again, I am free from the fear, and I receive your grace. I place them into your hands now. I will see them in heaven, and we'll spend eternity together. Father, I thank you that I have that authority in their life because they're my brother or my sister or my mother or my father or my children, my grandparents. We'll spend eternity together. Thank you for giving me so much authority. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, God bless you. Have a happy Mother's Day. We're so blessed that you're here and that you came today. If you would like prayer specifically, you came for prayer specifically, I'll pray for you here on the Green Line. Otherwise, have a wonderful Mother's Day. God bless you.